And joining me in studio now at Technology Live, I'm Scott Gatun, by the way, is Teddy Hodges, the founder of Brace Under, whose mission is to help us all heal better. Well, Teddy, just the fellow I wanted to see. I just finished up doing my workout at Hard Pressed, and I literally, like, I don't know if you can watch from in there, but I'm, like, slouching over the chair as I record here. My lower back hurts. My legs hurt. Everything hurts. So this is the right time to talk about braces.
Good. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Of course. So first off, tell me more about Brace Under.
Sure. So picture Legos on clothing. We've blended compression tights with joint support systems. And then to go one step further, we put technology into it to give physiotherapists, athletic trainers, a metric for helping athletes return to sport or everyday individuals returning to sport.
Very cool. So my next question was going to be, how does this differ from compression sleeves and copper shit? That question has been answered. It takes all of them and puts them around your body.
Modular.
Yep. Give me an example of what would be your most, first off, how long have you guys been in business and working with this?
A year, really. This product's been alive for a year. I started back in 2012, so I don't know if you know my background. I've had 9 knee surgeries to date.
I did not. We were going to get into that, but might as well get into it now.
So last May.
You walk well for someone with all these surgeries.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a limp, but fortunate to have some really great surgeons working on me. I had my 9th last May, which was a biological knee replacement, which means I received a meniscus transplant from an individual who left Earth a little bit too early. After that surgery, we had our first product, which was very niche. It was for ACL braces on the market. It was to fix the pain points, and we found that people hated the braces so much they wouldn't even try our product. So then after surgery, I couldn't wear our product anymore. I still needed support, still love compression tights, so I started playing around with a different design, and that's how Brace Under today got born.
How did you first get hurt?
Basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah, I tore everything in my knee and was misdiagnosed, so I didn't have my first surgery till a year later.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's how that went down.
My sophomore year of high school, I had 4 surgeries. By the time I started college, I had 5.
Oh, so no D1 basketball for you?
No, earned an opportunity to play college baseball at the time. Dr. Stedman, who was in Vail, Colorado, told me it was time to stop playing. This is not a smart thing to do, so yeah, let her go.
So, yes, I mean, this is a real pain point for you. This isn't just, pun intended, this isn't just, you know, an entrepreneurial venture. I haven't really asked this question to most of the entrepreneurs that come on the show, but this is a good opportunity, I think, because this is so clear cut, the link between what you're doing and what, you know, what you're trying to solve. How, I assume you didn't have a background in creating braces and clothing and paraphernalia of things like that.
No.
Okay.
No.
So how does a person go from, I want to solve this problem for me, or I want to solve this problem in general, to I'm going to create a company that's going to solve this problem for millions, and then we're gonna iterate and create all these different product lines and SKUs, and I'm just gonna learn all this stuff on how to do it. Did you do this in school? Like, where did you go, or did you just do it on your own? Like, what was that journey like for you?
Sure. So in high school, I was wearing compression sleeves after my surgery, and I didn't like them. So my grandma taught me how to sew and fix the compression sleeves to make them last longer and more comfortable.
Mine always shredded.
Yes,
shredded. As soon as you get like a stretch mark on it, it was throw it in the
exactly.
garbage.
So I started stitching those up so they would last longer. I could actually wash them and keep them for 6, 7, 8 months. And then from there, what happened was the first product, I just started sewing on top of some of
the... Fall in love with sewing.
Nike Under Armour. Yeah, maybe. Nike Under Armour compression shorts, and I started sewing on top of them so that we could keep the knee brace in place. And then once it got to the point where we know there's intellectual property here, filed a patent, found a seamstress in South Carolina who really started doing some more advanced work and started educating me on actually making patterns and making clothing from scratch versus, you know, stealing what was on the shelf and then building on it. And then coming here, I mean, the wealth of resources just here in Chicago, but then the internet as well, YouTube, Google.
Yep.
I started just educating myself, found a product development team here. My manufacturer's up in Ravenswood, actually, and paid it forward to them and made sure I was in their very quick visits, but enough to understand
their
process.
They were doing the right thing, and you knew what they were doing so that if it didn't work out, you can go to the next place. What would be some of the lessons that you would give? I mean, you're not there yet. Obviously, the product's been up for a year, but... This is not a mobile app. This is not something where you just go, well, we got this crazy idea. I don't really care if any users or anything. We're just going to go ahead and build this app and see what happens. And then that's it.
Sure.
This is a product. There's a process to getting it approved, to getting it on the shelves, to getting people to buy it, to get them to repeat buy it, to buy the next iteration, to market it, all this stuff. There's so many things. in this industry, you have to wear so many more hats than we do in the tech spot, in the tech space, that it's crazy. Now, and you're adding the tech piece to it on top of it.
Right.
You must be a maniac.
Right. Just a little.
Yeah. What was your sort of biggest hurdles, both from a fear standpoint as well as like, wow, I did it. Couldn't believe it.
You know, medical validation is a big piece right now that we're working on, getting the backing of orthopedic surgeons and athletic trainers, physical therapists.
Too bad you didn't know any of those people.
No, I had a few. So once we started collecting a group of advisors, one of our advisors was the head trainer for the New York Knicks for 4 years, and getting his feedback and also his input into further innovation, that really helped us finding orthopedic surgeons. And then the next big hurdle for us is Class 1 medical device approval, which isn't really approval, it's more compliance, which is a big, you know, for a startup, it's about a $50,000 infrastructure cost to go to market.
So are you funding this all on your own, or did you have investors, or how have you done this?
Friends and family. Bootstrapped to date, so we're actually raising a round right now, and that's my big focus, which is extremely educational and humbling at the same time.
Isn't it for everyone?
Yeah.
From a product standpoint now, how... You're on the shelves. It's online only right now. Or what? Where are you at? Your prototype? What's the?
So we've hit in terms of this product, the flagship product, we've had 3 iterations of it. 85 individuals, from 5 professional athletes to an 18, 19-year-old who's had 3 ACL surgeries himself.
Yep.
So we have about 5 to 10 more of those units we're going to give out for the final piece of feedback. Then the focus is doing a product launch, getting the FDA compliance, and then utilizing some type of crowdfunding or possibly even a Technori type piece.
I was going to say, I know a place you can go for some equity crowdfunding.
Huh?
I know a guy. I know a few guys. We would definitely love to have you come on and do that, and we can do some more promoting on the show and so forth. So we'll definitely talk about that. But I guess, you know, from the standpoint of the product, and I like you said, you're trying different unconventional ways to raise capital. I think one of the issues that some of the people, particularly in Chicago, with this is it's not sexy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not to discount, but it's like, at the end of the day, you're solving a real problem that people have. You're not creating an app for people to just dick around online. You know, like, I only want to invest in that.
Right.
What was the Giphy? Do you see Giphy got like $72 million raise?
Wow. Good for them. Good for them. That's awesome.
Congratulations. It's awesome. And you know what? The company, the guy's like a really smart guy, visionary type. I have a feeling he will probably end up turning Giphy into like, I'm not even going to say this because we were trying to do this at Technori, so I'm going to stop what I was going to say. He's going to go cool places. But the bottom line is some group of people put $72 million on the line for a dude who makes individual pictures move. There was people 100 years ago who made cartoons by going with a picture, and they made it move like a Giphy. It blows my mind. But the bottom line is Giphys can get $70 million. You need $50,000 or whatever, and people are like, whoa. How many shirts have you sold?
Right. That's exactly. You know, what's interesting, too, is that there's this completely underserved market. There's 100 million Americans seeing a doctor each year for some type of joint issue. 20 million are for their knees.
Yeah.
And that's a $900 billion economic burden per year on the United States economy.
Just to clarify with that market, is this a tool where I would put it on compression? Like you said, Legos, maybe I need the brace, maybe I don't, whatever. And I go and play basketball in the leg gear.
Right.
And then if I don't want to use, maybe I'm not, it's recovery. So I take the brace part off and I still have the compression.
Exactly.
And so on and so forth. So basically when I'm pre-warming up and I don't need the brace and I don't want the brace, I just need to sort of keep myself loose. I can keep it on, then go brace, play ball, come off, take the brace off, compression, ice, and out the door.
Exactly. It's multi-use, and it's, you know, before you play the game, training for the game, during the game, or after the game.
Yeah.
And then we'll start 3D printing knee braces. The tech piece will go one step further. I mean,
those are going to be like beacons and things in there, or sensors in there that will sort of the Solstice mobile sensor type thing where you can tell structurally where you're moving and that sort of deal.
Biomechanics. And then the other piece is ACL injuries, 85%+ of them happen without somebody hitting your knee.
Yeah.
So they're called a non-contact injury.
They
look the worst, right? Robert Griffin III, who, you know, the Teddy Bridgewater just did it. The way that knee goes in, there's a very complex movement. We can mimic that movement and then measure the tension or the load on the knee, which is what the physical therapists we have as advisors are very interested in, because a lot of the tools they have don't have numbers. They don't have a metric to go from.
And you can't. And that's the other thing about this is, from a medical standpoint, what I think is so cool about this is you can't tell a person to recreate momentum. You can tell them to go into a certain movement. You can tell them, hey, you know, run that route again. And where are our sensors? Nobody is going to be doing a test case in game speed.
Right.
And so if you have the metrics, and it can't just be one time, like a one freak thing. If you have the metrics from somebody playing, you know, route after route after route after route, and you can take out the ones that are clearly an aberration.
Right.
And focus on them or not, you know, depending on what you're trying to find. Focusing on that aberration and going, wow, when his body is at this certain weight forward and he's running at this speed and his leg gets at this angle, the chances of him having a problem are, whatever.
Exactly.
And then they can either solve it, prevent it, help strengthen, you know, all these different things. It's just, that's incredible.
That's the vision, to enhance joint injury understanding. And so instead of rehab setting for one of the use cases, it's during play where you wouldn't even notice it's on.
Yeah.
But if an injury happened, we would have numbers and metrics around the data around that injury so we could understand why it happened and how to prevent it down the road.
Can I ask you then with the data piece? Now I'm getting into it. So
yeah,
the data piece, what do you guys have a dashboard or tech back end to this, or do you just store the data on your own place and send it to third parties? Or how, I guess the question I'm taking a very poor approach at is, we had the guys, Adam Tilton from Rhythmio here, and they presented it at Technori, and they've met with companies like Athletico and whatever else about how to utilize their sensor technology and their mobile app that can work on all of these different watches and basically tell me, you know, all kinds of amazing things. How could we find a way, or are you already doing this, trying to work the two of you together in a place where somebody whose entire focus is on taking that data and analytics and putting it in a useful, consumer-friendly way, because the analytics is too busy for
sure.
The average person.
Sure.
Even if you're as interested as you, it's still too busy.
Yeah.
How do we put it in a useful way, and then also a way that's professional for medical?
Yeah, so first, those guys at Rhythmio, what they're doing, I've met with them, phenomenal.
Yeah.
They are brilliant, and I love their company, so I think it's amazing what they've done. In terms of getting it to the market, I think the first step for us is we have a low-energy Bluetooth that's going from the tech piece, the little data sensor, the hardware, to a tablet. And what we'll do is we'll go to the physical therapist first and allow them to use the tool and tell us what they need and refine it so for the user interface, the experience of actually seeing it, and then take that into the consumer where you know after surgery you like this amount of pressure and this amount of tension, you can repeat it. And that's just the beginning process of the next layer of the tech vision.
I was going to say, because that's where, and again, I don't know if you want to get yourself, maybe you end up not becoming just a manufacturer of clothing, but rather this is your play and somebody else ends up making the idea that you continue to iterate and make better and more useful. If you were to work with a company like Rhythmio in this, what I think is interesting to me, given the fact that I just left the gym, when I do certain exercises, I've torn my Achilles and I've done my knee up and all these other things, I feel certain tension and certain positions that feel awkward and I don't know why they do and whatever. At a certain point, this information could be on my, I don't have an Apple Watch because at current it's useless, but if I did have an Apple Watch, I could find out based on my movement on Rhythmio's version, I'd be able to actually know what exercises I'm doing. If I'm wearing your gear and stuff and sensors, I would actually know perhaps like a car backing out of a spot and it gives you the sound alarm that you're going off track. I would know like, hey, you know, you want to know why your squats feel like shit. It's because you're lazy and you're letting your chest fall and your body's not in the right position.
Exactly.
And it would have like little things. That would be, there are so many people who don't do exercises, and there's people who use that as a barrier whether or not going to exercise in general. But there's so many people who don't exercise on certain things, myself included, because they're afraid we're going to break stuff. We don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So now you're not just healing me and preventing it, but actually teaching me along the way.
Lifetime intervention. Exactly. Yes, that's the vision.
Do you have any seats for board seats available? Board seats
available? You're definitely picking up on the vision here. Totally.
I get it. No, this is amazing. Very, very cool stuff. Where do people go to learn more about it? I know that you're not quite ready to be selling this full market. When do you think that will be? Yeah, fill us in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I said, my focus right now is fundraising and getting the capital we need to go to the market with the non-tech piece of what we have. So the technology, the question that's come about is, what is technology? Because the compression tights, it's unlike anything that's on the market, the way they're designed, and the cost of making them reflects that as well.
Yeah.
And it impacts the body in a way that makes tissues change and helps them heal, warms them up. And then the other side is the tech piece that you're talking about. So we'll launch. You can go to Brace Under. braceunder.com. Email me, Teddy at braceunder, if you're interested. That's our focus is to launch here within the next 6 months.
Yeah. Very cool. You know, and the funny thing, which you mentioned, I didn't ask, and I'm not going to ask what the price on something is like this is going to cost. We'll figure that out when you get to production. But to give you an example, as an audience of people, the helmets and stuff that they've been sampling at like Northwestern for football that have sensors to relate to concussions, some of them are $10,000 a helmet.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of what it costs, schools, universities, education centers, medical centers, you know, you name it, athletic teams, of course, professional teams, they will pay whatever it takes to find out why their big racehorses are going down.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what would the Bulls have paid for Derrick Rose to have a pair of these shorts on 4 or 5 years ago? That would have been different. We'd be in a different place right now. Although, go Marquette, go Dwayne Wade, go Jimmy Butler.
That's right.
Teddy, thank you so much for taking the time and coming in studio today.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Absolutely. So last little plug I have to give to the Technori event. It is on November 16th at Chase Auditorium. We have partnered with the Bunker Labs to create a fully dedicated to entrepreneurs who are veterans on stage event. It is going to be amazing. Go to technori.com. Buy your tickets now. Buy your tickets tomorrow. Buy tickets for your friends. Buy tickets for your grandma. Buy tickets for everybody. Make sure you use WGN as the promo code. Save yourself. I believe it's 25%. If not, I'll change it after the show to make it 25% so I'm not wrong. Thank you guys very much. You can stream this episode and more on technori.com. You can stay connected and up to date by following our Technori stories or our Technori bites. And follow us at Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.